The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We always appreciate it. However you're taking us in, thank you so much. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Circa Resort Casino here in downtown Las Vegas. Still to come this hour, Paul Spohr on Major League Baseball, doubleheader today, quadruple header tomorrow. Can't wait to talk baseball with him. We will also hear from Tim Murray on a great college football weekend gone by, his picks for the college football weekend ahead, and Will Hill also with all his plays waiting patiently. Just want to get some, just clean up some of our hockey loose ends. Jake also had some plays for tonight.
Sir? Yes, he did. Yep. Yeah. Not often do we do a hockey segment. We feel like we could have done 10 minutes more with
that's
him.
Right.
But yeah, we were kind of ran out of time there. Yeah, a couple plays for him tonight. Blues money line. Bear with me on last names here. Buchnevich over 2.5 Sogs, Gil.
Sure.
Shots on goal. We're bringing the Sogs back. I love Jake with the Sogs. There's over 2.5. Connor Bedard, I know that one. Bedard over 2.5 Sogs -150. He said or over 3.5 at plus money. He doesn't hate as well.
Okay. And I want to give a shout out.
In Utah, what is it? The Utah Hockey Club in
the
action?
The Utah Hockey Club.
Your
That's right.
City had to go screw up this whole thing. Did you see all the awesome list of names that they had and they settled on Utah Hockey Club?
I wish that the commodes would go back to Washington football team.
I know you do.
I think it was very classy.
I'm gonna pull like a Matt Brown and just bet against the Utah Hockey Club every night.
What was it he used to shout Kraken?
Yeah, Kraken. Like, yeah. Should have been. They had like the Yeti. It was the Utah Yeti. How nice does that flow? That's awesome.
I want to shout out Steve Mackinnon also. VSiN.com has great stuff. By the way, all of our picks at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. Every host, every sport, every guest. Tennis been going really well. So for those who are subscribed, hope you're playing those. I've hit like 4 big dogs in the last couple nights. That's for subscribers. But what is free on our website is spectacular. And Steve Mackinnon on hockey, he goes through 6 different betting systems that revolve around rest on the hockey schedule. Team with 1 day, you know, 1 day rest versus 2. He has 6 different situations and what the historical records are. And then even more valuable than that, this is all on the website.
That's great stuff.
This is even better. He has all of the situations this year that it applies to.
Okay.
You can actually click on a chart of the eligible NHL games for all of his betting systems.
Yeah, I mean, no,
awesome.
No surprise to me. I think NHL, you approach the same way, but NBA, that is something I do before the season, is just circle different rest, major rest disparity spots and situations.
Yeah, all of that at VSiN.com. Good job by Steve Mackinnon. We get tweets of beating the book. Los Vegas, 514. Yo, did you know that our Washington Capitals turn 50 this year? Probably won't win the cup anytime soon, but will be nice to celebrate a great DMV sport franchise. And I will say this about the Caps, for those of us who were around when they played their very first game, once they won that cup, I'm kind of good forever. And I think if you gave truth serum to a bunch of fans, they'd be like, oh no, we want to win another, but yeah, we won one. Spike Magruder. Feel like you know this, but A&G audience might not. Aaron Judge hitting coach is Kerry Carpenter's hitting coach. I thought the other big coincidence last night, Joe Buck did a great job of this in the Saints-Chiefs game. Did you catch this? That he was talking about, I was mentioning Colin Saunders made that pick and returned it 36 yards.
Are you kidding me?
And right before that, Joe Buck just happened to be talking about the fact that Colin Saunders' brother is a dancer for Taylor Swift, who obviously is Travis Kelce's girlfriend on the other side of the football field. So there you go.
All right.
That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, we had that whole discussion last week. Yeah. No, Gil and I are not scripted NFL people, but yes, no. It is a little amazing, just coincidentally, when you get a pre-planned produced piece about a player that is a defensive lineman ends up intercepting in the end zone.
Before that, he crushed Kelce.
Yeah.
He just popped him. And then I think the next player of the play after that made the pick.
It's crazy.
The numbers guys. I never played first base, so talking about the Yankees last night reminds me of that scene in Moneyball. Billy Bean says, you don't know how to play first base, Scott? Talking to Scott Hattieburg. Scott Hattieburg goes, that's right. Billy Bean says, it's not that hard. It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Wash, talking to Ron Washington. Ron Washington goes, it's incredibly hard.
That's a great scene.
Such a great scene from Moneyball. Brian Moranian, do you think Salah had to buy his own flight home from London? No, hopefully he actually got to fly home and then they did the firing. This is from, Brian Schaefer. Salah fired. Now they will run the ball. Oh, wait, Rodgers is the head coach. He really is the de facto head coach. LFC title records. Are you going to have any political wagering discussion now that it's legal in the U.S.? Yes. Of course we will. Kamala plus 130 to win the popular vote, apolitically speaking, of course. Wow, she's plus money to win the popular vote? That's surprising to me. That's a bet. Electoral college is a whole nother thing, but popular vote plus 130 is value. Bruce Dobigan, dumping Salah today shows that the Jets think the game Monday against Buffalo might be their last chance to catch the AFC East title unless it goes to the Electoral College.
Oh, that worked out.
That's
well.
Actually a great point by Bruce. Let's bring in Will Hill at Not The Will Hill, the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, who was kind enough to have me on this past week on Shoulda Bet More. How you doing, Will?
Gilly, what's going on, guys? How are you?
I'm good. How much are you enjoying these baseball playoffs, by the way? This baseball postseason.
Awesome. I will be looking at the clock from now till 5 o'clock about 100 times, just counting down the hours, the minutes. It's the best, and I feel like, you know, you and I were kind of talking about this the other day. You know, baseball, it's fallen off in the popularity. It's a regional thing. I do feel like baseball's having a moment, though. I think the Mets standalone game last Monday and then Thursday with the dramatic home run by Alonso. I just feel like the popularity is starting to climb back a little bit with, you know, getting texts from people who, you know, don't usually text me about baseball. Just like, oh, man, are you watching this game? Are you watching that game? And it's a good mix because we've got like the Blue Bloods, we've got the big markets, both New York teams, Philly, LA, but then we have the little sprinkle of the Cinderellas like the Mets and the Tigers. I just think it's the best.
I do too, and I hope you're right. I hope if it takes, that's what I was saying earlier, if it takes the Padres and Dodgers to mix it up tonight to attract more people, I'm all for it because this baseball postseason is just the most awesome thing going. Almost every game has been incredible. Almost. A couple exceptions, but almost everything. Did you make a play in either? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, and all four series tied at once. So it's not like, you know, that first best of three round, it was like, oh, man, we were sitting there three sweeps and Mets Brewers was the only one that went three. We're sitting here 4-1-1. Yeah, I played a couple things. I'm going to go back to the Mets here. I've been riding them for a couple weeks now. I think they've got a little magic, a little karma. It reminds me a little bit of the Giants in years past where just they find ways. Now, that concerns me. The way that game unfolded the other day, if they lost 9-0, I'd say, you know what? No big deal. They got their split on the road. They beat Wheeler. The fact that they're up 3-0 in the sixth, then they had another lead in the eighth, then they tied it again. I worry that was the thing that turned it a little bit for them. But
me too.
If you look back in terms of like when the Mets turned this around early June, they've been like a good 9 games better than Philly. I mean, they've been a legitimately good baseball team for a long time now. I think that'll be a legitimate home field tonight, and I will take the Mets. As far as the other game, it's hard not to take the Padres. Buehler is not the same pitcher now. And King's been outstanding. Buehler, actually, his last time out, 5 innings, 1 run against the Padres. That was one of his better performances. But if you look at the surface stats, like 1-6 with a 5.38 ERA. And even in that last stat for that last start versus the Padres, he got one swing. He got 3 swings and misses. He got 1 strikeout. It was called, and I just saw the play of it. It was a pitch that was a good 6 inches outside. So this is not the same hard-throwing guy. So I like the Padres. If you're looking at the props, Buehler set it 14.5 outs and 4.5 hits. I would look to under for both because I think the Dodgers, they're one of these analytic teams. Remember, you know, years ago, they took out Rich Hill when he was pitching really well just because they wanted to, you know, play the numbers. I think if they got like 4 innings, 2 runs, 1 run out of Buehler, they would take that and run for the hills and just turn it over and then play mix and match from that point forward. So I like the Padres. I like Buehler under outs. I like Buehler under hits. Although if you're not missing bats, the ball's going to be in play. I just think his leash is going to be ultra, ultra short tonight. I think they turn the lineup, you know, once, maybe 1.5 times, and they get him out of there.
All right. So question for you fine baseball minds here. The Padres have been taking money so far. Do we expect to see Dodgers money here in the afternoon?
I was going to say, because everything you're saying is right about the matchup, but it's getting pretty high on the Padres today.
King was so great last time out, and Buehler, just if you look at the numbers, I think people are going to look at the pitchers, and I mean, maybe there's a buyback on the Dodgers once it gets to a certain point, but I think just on paper, it is so advantageous for the Padres. It's hard to get behind the Dodgers unless you just say, hey, it reaches a price where you kind of have to bet it on principle, but I'm not there. I don't know if you are.
No, I'm just going to let the Padres pre-flop ride. My feeling about these two games today is, yesterday we were on the chat and I in-gamed the under, as you know, once the shadows were apparent in the Cleveland game. That ended up working out. Then I pre-flopped both the Royals game and first five. That ended up working out. I have no such feelings today on either of those two games. And I'm curious about tomorrow, what you think. It's a quadruple header. Obviously, there are going to be two game fours and two game threes. And in the American League, let's go to your Yankees, who now are 1-1 against the Royals. It's going to be Seth Lugo against Schmidt tomorrow. Any thoughts on that game?
No, I'd be a little nervous on the Yankees. I think, like, life on the line, I'd probably still pick them to win two out of three and find a way to get past them. But Lugo at home, Royals have been different offense at home. Yankees really don't have a lot of pitching. And Judge and Soto aren't doing anything. The rest of the lineup just isn't that good. I'd be nervous if I'm the Yankees. I know you and the Bear got these Royals tickets. You're live because this Yankee team can't be trusted. I thought they had their opportunities last night. Hey, you're up 1-0 in the series. You got, you know, two on, nobody out for Judge. Early on, Reagan's looked a little rattled. You know, had a 1-0 lead. They just couldn't get the big hit to give them some breathing room. So I'd be nervous if I'm the Yankees here. If anything, I take the Royals at plus money. I do ultimately think the Yankees win it, as I'm waffling here. But they probably split and go to a game five. I don't have a great feel for this series, though.
Yeah, Aaron Judge, I was mentioning yesterday, has Barry Bonds pre-2002 postseason vibes. And yeah. Bobby Witt Jr. can't get a hit, which is the weirdest development of all of it.
It's baseball.
Series.
I mean, it's small sample size. Sample it's October. Size. You're seeing the scouting reports are tighter. But I will say, as great as Judge is, this offseason will not be kind to him. If they lose the next two games and he goes 0-8 or 1-8 with a single, you can't be that great in the regular season to be this bad in the playoffs. You're going to hear about it. That's just how this thing works.
100%. Your favorite Week 6 NFL bet is, as we go out?
It's not a Week 6 bet. 49ers minus 165 to make the playoffs. I feel like I'm taking the bait here. I'm taking the trap. That looks like an auto bet for me.
I like it. Will, appreciate it as always. Thank you, sir.
See you guys. Thanks for having me.
Will Hill at Not The Will Hill again. Should Have Bet More, the name of the podcast. Let's talk some college football with Tim Murray next, right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NBA regular season is exactly 2 weeks away. We're ready to tip off, and the VSiN experts have been hard at work tracking the latest player moves to help you bet smarter. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as little as $9.99 for your first month, and reserve your copy of our upcoming NBA betting guide featuring previews and power ratings on all 30 teams, best bets and futures from the VSiN experts, player prop and live betting strategies, plus senior NBA analyst JVT's favorite title bets, also our own Kelly Bidlin with his NBA live betting piece in there. Give yourself an edge this season. Reserve your copy of the VSiN NBA betting guide and get a full month of VSiN Pro for just $9.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Kevin Ryan. Gil, it is hard for me to explain at 66 years old the joy I feel when I listen to Bob Costas call a baseball game. You know, Kevin, I have ambivalent feelings, but I'm mixed feelings here because I used to love listening to Bob Costas when I was a kid. And I feel like the years have gone by and the way that people broadcast has changed slightly and that Bob is still doing it old school. And so there are a few moments in every game. I'm taking nothing away from him. The man is a broadcast legend. But there are a few moments where it is a little cringy, where he'll say things about like mortal coil. Like he'll just say a phrase that you just sort of, if I can't say, recoil at, because you're like, well, I don't think anyone talks that way. But I understand the sentiment. James at the James Lloyd, Salah out. Did Aaron do that? He may very well have done that. A lot of love for Bill Belichick being their next coach, but that is not happening. They're going with the interim coach as their defensive coordinator here. This is from Torch D. Says the Kansas City Chiefs are a black hole tearing through the NFL, sucking up all the advanced analytics and spitting them out into a universe where Mike Tomlin has never had a winning season. Torch D 15. This is the issue. When we said this last year, when Aaron Schatz had the Ravens and the Niners as two of his top 10 all time DVOA teams. And then the Chiefs just come in with their system hack, Patrick Mahomes, and they just render everything meaningless. Not that Aaron's things weren't correct. They were. And all of our prognostications on all those teams, I was a big Niners guy. But Patrick Mahomes is just the system hack that makes it all meaningless in the end. I totally agree with that. This is from the numbers guys. It says, Drew says people are a little too high on Detroit. He doesn't have the Lions in his top 10 power ranking, if my math is correct. So maybe he's a little too down on the Lions. That could be as well. And then a big thank you from Snakes Alive to Jake Hahn. Thank you, Jake, and a numbers game for the insight on the show today. Going to be a fun NHL season. Yeah, he got me super pumped for the NHL season. Oh, one more. Bearded Sharp, 28. They are the Utah Yeti. It was spoiled. They just didn't have enough time to get it ready before the season started. He also adds, go Leafs. We'll read more of your tweets coming up. Tim Murray is kind enough to join us now. He is the co-host of VSiN Primetime. You can find him on the weekends doing our preview shows as well on football. He joins us now from his lair. You can follow him on Twitter at one Tim Murray. That's the number one, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Tim, good to see you, man.
What's up, Gil? How are you, brother?
I'm doing very well. Let me just ask you about last week before we get to your thoughts this week.
Oh, yeah.
Five out of the top 11, upset. Obviously, Alabama losing to Vanderbilt outright is going to catch all the headlines. Of the others, talking about Tennessee, Michigan, USC, obviously Mizzou lost, though not to an unranked. And then Miami almost lost to Cal. I'll throw that in there if that had happened. Which was the biggest one for you beyond the Alabama upset?
Yeah, I think it was Tennessee, Gil. I mean, this is a team that looked like a runaway freight train, and the way that they had played, you know, that win over NC State is obviously not aging very well, as NC State is all their types of troubles. And you see Grayson McCall go down pretty scary fashion over the weekend, but they lose to Wake Forest. But yeah, I was surprised to see Tennessee ultimately go down. But I mean, look, this is the nature of the beast. And, you know, maybe this year is a little more unique than others, but you saw all of these teams, what do they have in common, Gil? They were all on the road, and these are some tricky environments. And to be honest, it had been kind of a chalky year for these road favorites taking care of business until Saturday happened there. So, look, did I think Vanderbilt would win outright? Of course not, but I certainly thought they had a chance to cover. I ultimately did get to the window there. We talked about it on Saturday morning, too, about Arkansas, a full 14-point underdog. So, you know, this is you know, kind of what I think we were anticipating here heading into this weekend to see these types of weekend. Gil, you've been following the sport long enough, and I opened up the show this way on Saturday, which is, you know, these are the types of weekends that to expect the unexpected. And that's ultimately what happened. And think, too, a little bit about the Alabama game, Gil. What did they do the week prior? They beat Georgia. I mean, letdown factor in college football is a real thing. I do it every Wednesday on VSiN Primetime, talk about it on the podcast. You know, it's not always as simple as you win a big game, you're going to lose the next week. But I mean, we've got a couple pretty big case in points this year, right? Notre Dame goes down to Texas A&M, beats the Aggies, follow that up with a poor performance and lose to Northern Illinois. And same happens here with Alabama. But to answer your question, I mean, Missouri was a spot that I thought they were overrated. Texas A&M was one of my best bets of the week, so you wish they were all that easy. But certainly I think Tennessee, and especially to be up 14-3, Gil, early in the second half after playing as poor as they did, I thought at that point, all right, they're gonna figure this thing out. And, you know, give credit to Arkansas and the game plan that they had, especially with all the injuries they were dealing with. Their quarterback went out in the second half, and they're still able to pull off that upset.
Did it take a last sports talk radio question? Did it take a little away from you when this was happening because it's now the new 12-team format, and so the impact wasn't quite as great with these upsets?
No, I mean, I have continued to champion this 12-team playoff. I think it's incredible for the sport. Yes, you can argue Alabama, hey, they're not going to be in it. Guess what? Alabama still would be in it. If this were the 14 playoff, they have the best win arguably in college football this year, beating Georgia, a team that's, you know, a top five program. So it gets me more excited. I think there's some fascinating situations that we could see. And I think there's a reality, too, where we could see the group of five representative, maybe Boise State, actually get the bye. You got to remember, it's not four power four teams getting a bye. More often than not, it will be that way. But if Boise State or whoever emerges out of the G5 as a conference champion, Gil, is higher ranked than a Big 12 champion or an ACC champion, whatever it may be, they would earn the bye. So, look, I think the 12-team playoff is the best thing that has happened to this sport, and I think it's wide open this year, and I think that's what makes it so great. I am excited about this year, and I think the playoff, that first weekend or third weekend of December, now we're seeing the parity. I think we're going to see some really good games on home fields, and you saw the importance of home fields over this past weekend.
Okay, I lied again. Before we get to your picks, just going to spoon feed you Ohio State, Oregon. Obviously, that's the marquee matchup this week, and Ohio State favored by 3.5. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, a little lean to Oregon here. Nothing too crazy. You know, this is the first time Oregon's been a home dog since 2018, so this is a pretty rarefied air situation for the Ducks. And you think back to the summer, Gil, where Oregon was a slight favorite over Ohio State. Now, you know, Oregon has been a little disappointing in my eyes this year, you know, kind of struggling in a handful of games, and Ohio State has looked the part. And, you know, this is one of those spots where, you know, Ohio State really hasn't been tested yet. You know, they beat Iowa this past week, and that's a nice win at home. They beat Michigan State, and the non-con was a joke. So, you know, this is a real big opportunity here for Ohio State to show what they truly are. North of 3, probably a lean towards Oregon here, but nothing too crazy for me initially, Gil, on this game. Can't wait to see it. I mean, a primetime game up there in Autzen. You know, I love the fact that this is going to be a night game as opposed to, you know, those big noon kickoffs. So, you know, we'll get a phenomenal atmosphere there at Autzen. And, you know, I know a lot of people poo-pooed all of the conference realignment. And to be honest, I probably did it a bit, but you got Oregon, Ohio State in a conference game. I think this is phenomenal to see this on Saturday night.
All right. What did you bet?
I got to go tried and true. I mean, I got to go Kentucky here. I mean, you know, Vanderbilt's carrying goalposts and dumping them into rivers. I mean, you know, I just like, you know, this is a spot where, you know, I get it. Diego Pavia is an underdog god. I mean, you look back at his time in New Mexico State, and now this year, whether it was Virginia Tech week one, winning outright, going on the road, forcing overtime against Missouri as a 3-touchdown dog, or winning obviously last week. But Kentucky's coming off a bye. You know, Mark Stoops, one of the better defensive minds out there. Anything under 2 touchdowns, I got to play it just out of principle. You know, it's one of those situations, Gil, where, you know, I don't know if you remember the movie Dumb and Dumber, where they strapped the bulletproof vest on Jeff Daniels' character, and they said, hey, what if he shot me in the face? That's a risk we were willing to take. You know, this is kind of the spot where it's like, you know what, Vanderbilt, you just won the biggest game in the school's history. Prove it to me here. Another one that I do like a little bit, Washington getting a big win last week, Iowa coming off the loss. You can get a cheap money line there on Iowa. I wouldn't lay the points just because Iowa scares me laying anything. But I think Iowa, I think you're around minus 135 at DraftKings would be another one for me. So at a principle, Gil, you got to go with Kentucky against Vanderbilt. And then I'll go Iowa in this spot as well.
Let everybody know when the College Football Betting Podcast comes out every week.
We'll get another one out today, Gil, me and Adam Burke, and then Saturday mornings, the VSIN College Football Tailgate Show, 10 a.m. Eastern.
Whoa, love it. Thank you so much, Tim. Appreciate it.
All right, Gil, see you, man.
Tim Murray, everybody, at one Tim Murray on the old Twitter machine. Paul Spohr, baseball, next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa, it's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Kelly is somewhere. I think he's behind the glass. Maybe he went out to the bathroom. I don't know. But we had to put him in a soundproof room during the Tim Murray segment because we do have college football guessing lines coming up next segment. So there's that. Before we get to Paul Spohr and talk baseball, just one correction, and this is what happens when I read tweets live. You may have heard me react like, oh, my God, if that's the price, that's a bet. That's an auto bet. That was when I read a tweet about the popular vote that apparently someone was saying that Kamala was plus 130 in some location. That turns out to be not true at all. As you can imagine, that was my reaction was, oh, my God, that's too good to be true. It turns out it was too good to be true. Kamala is a huge favorite in the popular vote category. Minus 400, minus 500. Jason Stark, Palm Readers, everybody, thank you for letting me know about that. Also via text. People are like, what? Plus 130? That can't be. Now remember, this is not the Electoral College we're talking about. We're talking about the popular vote, which the Democrats are, apolitically speaking, supposed to win no matter what. No matter what one says here with still, you know, what is it, a little less than 4 weeks away from the election of 2024. And we will have more political coverage. We've done some segments with Jason Weingarten, but we will do more betting segments between now and then, apolitically speaking. Let's talk some baseball. Paul Spohr joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, at Spohr, S-P-O-R-E-R, writes for Fangraphs, Sleeper in the Bus podcast is his podcast as well. And Paul, you and I were just talking off air I know I get off at 9 a.m. Pacific. I have exactly 5 hours before the first game today. That's how my entire day is parsed. That's how excited I am about baseball. Get everything done, sit down, and watch a doubleheader.
That's absolutely the way it is during October baseball. You've got whatever that window is between your wake-up time and the first game to get everything done. Because I know for me, even when the Tigers aren't in it, I can't focus on anything work-wise once the games are going. So I am 100% with you. And then you add in the extra factor that my favorite team is in it, and I'm just useless once they're on in terms of any work.
I'm going to ask you the same question that Jeff Parlay, my former Grover Cleveland producers, asked me yesterday. He goes, okay, they're all 1-1, right? We've never had this before. All four division series tied at one apiece, so they're de facto best of threes now. And he asked me, which do I believe is the most likely to finish in four and which is the least likely to finish in four? In other words, they won't go back to the higher seeds home ballpark. My answer was that I thought the most likely to finish in four for me was actually the Padres and Dodgers.
Like,
you too. That's your answer.
Yeah.
What is your thinking on that?
I mean, I really, really like this Padres team. Full disclosure, they're my World Series pick. So my confidence is there. That's where the bias lays. But I don't come by it, you know, dishonestly in any way. I just think this team is loaded and ready to go. And I still think we look at the Dodgers, you know, they have expectation. They're a good team, but they're not this behemoth. They've got the big names. They got the big money, but they are a little bit top heavy. They're not as deep as some of these recent teams. And I just love what this San Diego bullpen can do. I think they can overcome any potential Musgrove issues. Actually, what's the latest on him? Is he out? He's not on this roster. So even if he's out the rest of the way, I think they can overcome that with this bullpen. Cease, King, Darvish is a strong 1-2-3 there. I know Cease got knocked around a bit, but Darvish came right back. The lineup goes hard. They run a little light at the bottom of third there, but Higashioka can go yard on you. Donnie Barrels, as Donovan Solano is called, are going to give you knocks left and right. And Cronenworth in the seventh slot's a capable player, multi-time All-Star, or at least a one-time All-Star. So they're great. And I just think that I think they're better than the Dodgers. I know they were five games worse than the regular season, but in a five-game set, I think they have a chance to close it out.
Musgrove, by the way, undergoing Tommy John. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I had missed that he's getting the full TJ. That's a bummer. Yeah. I mean, it's somewhat inevitable, I guess, at times once these guys start to pile up a few different things. But yeah, that really stinks for him. I like Musgrove quite a bit.
The least likely to end in four, I said, was the Mets and the Phillies. Do you agree with that?
Gil, I mean, I don't mean to just be copying you, but that's exactly where I'm at here.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree more. I just think that these two, again, you can look, you see the 6-game difference in season. I respect that. But now that we're here in a 5-gamer and actually a 3-gamer, as it were, right, with all these being 1-1, it's a 3-gamer with the underdog having home field. That said, I think the way we've seen these games go back and forth, that game Sunday was unbelievable. I just feel like that's the whole series, right? It feels like it has to go five Phillies Mets and probably contain a ninth inning or extra innings drama to go with it, just the way it's been tracking. So, yeah, I'm lockstep with you on that.
What about today's game, the Phillies and the Mets? This is as close to a coin flip as it gets. The Phillies are the slightest of favorites on the road in Queens. It's Nola against Manaea.
I just really love I hesitate to say emergence as if he's never been good, but I guess maybe the reemergence then of Sean Manaea as an absolute stud. And in fact, I think you could even say emergence because this is a new height for him. This is a level that we've not really seen. He put up some good numbers on occasion in Oakland, you know, had some good seasons and up and down. I think I've even talked with you about how much he hated San Francisco last year because of the way they utilized him in the role. He didn't like the kind of fluid role of you're going to be the follower today for four innings. You're going to be a traditional starter. You might be in relief for two. He hated that. And you know what? That's fine. I understand the notion of like being ready when your number's called or whatever, but not every guy adapts properly. So now in a more traditional starting role, we saw Manaea just absolutely take off this summer. And I think he's going to give Philly all they can handle. The one thing there is that they are pretty good against lefties. So that's what makes it such a coin toss. But I am leaning toward the Mets today to get a 2-1 victory.
Leaning towards the Mets. And obviously we talked about the Padres and Dodgers, but King against Bueller today. King is now north of -150. Is that too high?
It's probably a little bit too high there. Again, I really do like this team. I hate to just run the opposite way against Padres team that I am very bullish on. But again, it's all about the context of the number and everything. And that seems to run maybe a little bit too high. I understand the concerns around Buehler and everything that he's done this year, or as it were, hasn't done, right? Because that's really the problem, is that he hasn't been, quote unquote, Walker Buehler. So I see where the number gets there, but I'm probably, despite being very pro San Diego, it's probably a layoff for me. I'm not going to run the other way to the Dodgers necessarily, because I do like the Padres so much, but I think it's just a little too hot for me to go with King at minus 155.
All right, what about your Tigers tomorrow? We go back to Detroit after Kerry Carpenter's heroics against Emmanuel Clase yesterday in the ninth.
Unbelievable.
With a three-run shot, three straight sliders. That third one was one too many to the well, and Carpenter parked it. Yeah, that was unbelievable. And now your Tigers, Paul, your Tigers, two wins away from an appearance in the American League Championship Series. And remember, if they can just win one of these two, they got Scooble in game five. What do you think tomorrow?
I really like their chances tomorrow. Now, of course, I like their chances, because we don't really know the pitching plan just yet. I'm seeing undecided right now. I'm sure it'll be an opener followed by who knows, right? We don't know if it'll be Reese Olson for four innings or if they do the full bullpen or whatever. But they're facing a good pitcher. I like Alex Cobb. I'm actually a longtime Alex Cobb fan, dating back to his days in Tampa Bay. But he's a 36-year-old with tons of injuries coming off of another injury right now. So, like, what are they really getting out of him? I feel like they might have to be in that bullpen early, too. So it could be kind of a bullpen game all around. And while their bullpen is awesome, I'm not saying that greatly favors the Tigers. I think the Tigers are more accustomed to doing it, so that if they have to run essentially six, seven guys tomorrow, they're not bothered by that. I don't know how much the Guardians feel comfortable with that if Cobb can only go two or three innings, either due to ineffectiveness, health, or just not being ramped up enough. So I do lean toward my boys tomorrow. It's a tight one, but I'm really excited for them to hopefully take a 2-1 lead.
Yeah. Tomorrow, by the way, is the final quadruple header, which begins at 3 p.m. Eastern. And then every game is staggered 2 hours. So it's 3, 5, 7, and 9.
Unavailable after that. Two Central, don't bother me. You can text me, Gil, but nobody else.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I will. Assuming things go well for your Tigers, I certainly will. Cleveland-Detroit is the first of the quadruple header tomorrow. The third game tomorrow, chronologically, is also game three of the Yankees-Royals series. That's Schmidt against Lugo. What is your sense of that game? What is your sense of this series? How do you feel about this?
Really, really intriguing series here. You got kind of that upstart team with the Royals against the established Titan that hasn't really done a whole lot lately, right? They're living off of reputation, the Yankees, in terms of actually putting championships up, but they're still understandably the favorites. I don't know how much the bulletin board material stuff works. I feel like we always retroactively apply that. I do think it was kind of stupid of Jazz to say they got lucky. I don't really like diminishing your opponent. I don't care if you truly believe that in your heart of hearts, or if it truly was lucky. Let's say it was a blown call or some doinky, 20-mile-an-hour hit that just sailed over the third baseman. I don't care how lucky it was, saying it, just there's no value to that. Like, what do you get out of that other than to potentially make yourself look bad? Again, I don't know how much that's going to play, and it doesn't make the Royals better, but I just don't love it. I actually had a really good feeling with the Yankees. Clark Schmidt, big fan of his. I think he's a wonderful young pitcher, had a sneaky great season this year. Lugo's been awesome, but I think Clark Schmidt's going to handle it. I think he's going to go into KC, give them a 2-1 lead, and overcome Jazz Chisholm's verbal blunder. It's not the end of the world, but I just don't think you should go around saying that stuff. I don't want to clutch my pearls over it. It's just, what do you gain from it? Like, you can only look dumb because you either said it and whatever, or they beat you and they say, how's that for luck, right? And they're just going to rub it in his face either way. So it's just zip it on that one, Jazz.
So of all the game threes, which is the one you feel strongest about?
Probably the Yankees. I like them to go in there. Wow. Again, I like this Royals team, but I'm a big Clark Schmidt guy. This is a lot of Clark Schmidt love here. Okay. I do worry about the offense being basically two guys, right? We're seeing that again here, but I think Clark can get it done. Hold him for five.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Gil.
Paul Sporer, everybody. Guessing Lines with Kelly next.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, at the top of the hour, after a numbers game, money moves. Usually with Stormy Bonatoni, but today with Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz. The reason for that, we ascertain, is because Stormy is in Seattle for the Kraken game this afternoon. She's doing the broadcast. So Stormy's got big things to do.
But you know, shit, A&M this weekend, right? Big time college football. Now she's doing NHL.
I'm telling you, Ben Wilson, Stormy's giving you a run for the most famous person to ever come out of VEASAN. Stormy, money moves. Oh, by the way, did I talk too long and the promo music is over? So sorry. I just wanted to give Stormy her props. Money moves with Matt Brown and Jeff Schwartz, followed by Prop Points with John Hansen, and then Make It Rain with Adam Schein at 3 p.m. Eastern. That is your VEASAN schedule. I want to address this one tweet. This is from, let's see here.
I'm going to guess plenty of Jets reaction coming today across the network.
Across the network.
As there should be.
As there should be, yeah. Five star realty. Oh, look at him. Look at, I guess he's promoing his work.
All right, I'm gonna go out on a ledge here, Gil, and say that Matt is a realtor.
I'm gonna say so. Matt Trudel, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He says on the VEASAN website, today's picks, they are showing tennis pick Victoria Tomova versus Ashlyn Kruger, but I'm seeing that Tomova is about to play Coco Gauff. Something seems off. No, that's because she already won. So again, you gotta when the tour is in Asia, you gotta get to them quick because these matches are early part of the overnight. So in the last couple days, with the tennis picks, I have hit.
Yeah, I'm gonna also guess that Gil did have Tomova because the way he said that, because it would have been funnier otherwise.
Well, so a couple of nights ago we had David Goffin at +181 against Lorenzo Musetti. That hit. We had Alexander Shevchenko at +230 against Francisco Cerundolo. That hit. Last night, Tomova was +190 against Kruger. That hit. And Magda Linette +185 against Ludmila Samsonova. That hit, not to mention Goffin again at +120. So all of those besides the Goffin one at the end, all those are huge dog winners for us.
Not Samsonova?
I say Samsonova because I like to just, when I give her out on the air, I used to say, just think Casanova and just think Samsonova that way. That's a sort of a mnemonic tactic to get people to know who we're either fading or betting. But it's actually
pronounced
Samsonova.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've been pronouncing that one wrong for years.
I thought the accent was always on the O before the OVA, you know, on the OVA. But apparently they pronounce it Samsonova. So what do I know?
We apologize.
Yeah. But yes, five-star realty. Those tennis picks have already happened. They're all winners. That's why you don't hear me talking about them on the air, because I haven't handicapped the upcoming ones yet. And it all depends on where is the tour, right? Where is the ATP? Where is the WTA? When it's stateside, we can always give them out on air. When it's in Australia, the timing is one thing. And now when it's in Asia, it's a really odd timing thing. So those were out at about 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern yesterday. And those matches didn't start for another couple hours after that. One of them was a couple hours, Magda Linette, and then everything else was thereafter. But they're all done.
And of course, Gil, if you're looking for a brand new house, condo, or whatever, check out Five Star Realty whatever city Matt's coming from.
That was all one big ruse for Matt to get Five Star Realty out. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is not NFL guessing lines. It's something even more spectacular. It's college football guessing lines with Kaleh Bidelon.
Let's go. Fire it up.
Ooh, a little scratching in there.
Check it out.
Yeah,
that's what's in there.
A little scratching. It's like Grandmaster D scratching with handcuffs on. What do you know about Houdini?
I don't know anything.
Now that Houdini's inside the joint. You know anything about that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Wait, give me more. Maybe I'll recognize it.
Born and raised in the streets of Brooklyn. Here's the thing. We did a segment with Tim Murray earlier.
Yeah, I'm actually upset about this.
Well, I said we put you in a soundproof room, but did you hear one of those?
Yeah.
Oh, so you.
This is the part I'm upset about. Full transparency. I did all my work. Okay.
Yeah.
Sent the lines to Wyatt. So actually, Wyatt knows he could time code check this. Okay.
Yeah.
I will admit though, I was watching some betting programming yesterday afternoon, and the Ohio State one popped up. So I did see the line, but why am I actually mad about it? Because I nailed it.
Really?
I was dead on, yeah.
What did you say?
I said Ohio State 3.5. I don't know where it's at now, but I said Ohio State 3.5.
3.5, man.
Yeah.
Is it 3.5 still? I think so.
Yeah, we'll start there, guys. There's not much of a breakdown. I don't really feel like I need to go.
Yeah, you
over
did
that,
the work, so let's hear the work.
Well, Oregon allowing over 100 yards per game on the 100 yards per game on the ground, Gil. Okay, yeah. Ohio State, they're running the ball easily, 227 yards per game rushing. It's going to be tough for the Ducks to slow down this rushing attack of Ohio State. Oregon only 1-4 ATS, really struggling to cover the number. Ohio State, we heard about them all offseason. One of the big time teams this year. They got to be favorites in Oregon. So I made a little over field goal.
It's actually 3 now, so you're way off.
Well, there we go. This proves that I did not know the line ahead of time.
My favorite part about this segment is that this actually requires you to do college football research. I like that.
Yeah, it does, because I don't know these things about the teams. I got to try to piece them together, you know?
So that one you kind of heard.
And I do some market ratings, right? Like I look at past lines for sure.
Okay. Market ratings. I got you right. By comparison. I like that.
Comparing with former spreads.
Has it helped you and appreciate college football more? Again, for those who are missing this, this segment started because once when we were over at the South Point and Kelly needed something for the upcoming segment real quick, he wanted to know the spreads, and it was some game, and I said 14. And he was like, thanks. And there was a pause. And then Kelly goes, plus or minus.
Yeah,
so we knew that Kelly was not a college.
That was South Point. I think I ran up to you at the desk, if I remember, and then it was like, all right. And then like I turned around and run back, and then it was like, wait, plus or minus.
All right. How about this one though? You don't know this. This is Cal at Pitt, baby.
You're
with the presumptive Heisman Trophy winner, Eli Holstein, baby.
That's right.
Let's go.
You know they rank sixth in passing yardage this season, Pitt.
Oh, I do.
You do. Oh, you got a Heisman ticket.
Yes,
all right?
I do.
Cal, 90th in pass defense, obviously struggling against ACC competition. They've lost against Miami.
They should not.
And Florida State, man.
That targeting was brutal. That non-targeting, I should say, was brutal against Miami.
Obviously, they can't handle the great conference that is the ACC. Pittsburgh is going to be a heavy favorite here. I have them at 7 points.
Hmm. Interesting.
Actual retail price is?
Actual retail value is 3. You're more high on it than the market.
Laying 3 with Pitt.
So a lot of value on Holstein and Pitt.
That's right. Laying it.
By the way, Holstein, spectacular. Claim it, Eli. Claim it. Don't deny it. All right, what's next?
Texas and Oklahoma.
That was for a certain portion of the audience. All right, this is huge. Oklahoma. Throw out the records.
All right, Quinn Ewers should be back. That's what I read.
That is correct.
That's what I read. Yes. Should be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No more Arch.
Yep.
All right. Texas 4-1 ATS. 1-5 straight up in their last 6 games against Oklahoma, if you're into trends. Just thought I'd write down a few for you. Oklahoma, tough couple games past weeks. Both teams coming off bye here. Texas, all that preseason hype, Gil. I'm thinking around a touchdown. I went over a touchdown. I went Texas laying 8 in this neutral site game.
Red River.
Red River Rivalry.
Texas minus 8 for Kelly. It's 14.5, man.
Oh, wow.
14.5.
That's a lot.
Value again per Kelly Bidlin on the Longhorns here. So, by the way, how's the...
on the dog.
On the dog, yeah. Pardon me. On the dog, yes. On Oklahoma, pardon me. So, how has this been going?
It was better than NFL for a while. I actually don't know. Yeah, whoever was my buddy tracking it on Twitter, let me know how I did last time around.
I love that you allow someone else to. You have no interest in tracking it, but you're like,
well, no, because I'm not betting these. I'm not betting these. We always warn this is for entertainment purposes only. I don't go out there and bet them.
Yeah,
but
yet people do.
Yeah, someone was tracking the value plays. It was 5-1 through the first 2 weeks. We skipped last week. We were too busy last week to get
all right. So value on Oklahoma, value on Pitt, according to your guessing lines segment.
Right.
Okay. Well done. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
Nope. Check out the NBA betting guide. JVT, Zach, and I worked very hard on him. By three of us, I mean JVT and Zach.
There is one loose end, and I know you didn't watch this, so forgive me for putting you on the spot. But when we were talking about the golf tournament this past weekend, heading into the weekend, you said, this is the one weekend I'm not betting Keith Mitchell.
Yeah.
And then he almost wins this.
Yep.
You would have hated yourself forever.
No, because especially what ended up happening, he three-putted on the 18. Like
right.
That's he had one of the great ball striking years that we saw on tour, but his putting was so bad. It's what held him back so often later in the season. So I don't think any surprise at a 3-putt cost of the tournament. Yeah. And, but yes, I would have been upset.
He said I played great for 71 and a half holes.
It was the fact that he was the short shot in the tournament too, where I was like, okay, this is easy to scratch off. Like, yeah, he's the favorite. I'm not going to go
So you wouldn't have hated yourself that because he was a short shot, really.
Yeah. There really wasn't. And actually, he didn't rate out as highly for me last week as he normally does. And I get so tempted.
Okay.
He's a short shot again this week.
All right. We've done all we can do. Thank you so much for listening. Baseball today, doubleheader, quadruple header tomorrow. Best sports time of year, in my humble opinion. Others have other opinions on this, but for me, this is the greatest. Baseball playoffs during postseason, I should say, during the week, and obviously football during the weekend. Robert Sala, the big news this morning, fired by the New York Jets. Matt Brown, Jeff Schwartz, they're coming up on Money Moves in for Stormy. They'll talk all about that and more right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.